All right, so this morning we're going to be in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I think everybody knows this story. The woman at the well. We're not going to read the whole thing. Quick synopsis. Jesus is traveling from Judea to Galilee. He's passing through Samaria. He stops at Jacob's well, which is important, but I'm not going to preach on that part either, where he meets a woman. This woman's had five husbands. She's working on her sixth. And he explains that he is the living water that she needs. She believes him, and that's where we're going to pick this up in verse number 28. Verse number 28 in John chapter 4 says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? They then went out of the city and came unto him." You know, I usually don't get titles for my message, but this one was kind of easy. God just gave it to me. So we're going to call this one, Come See a Man. Come See a Man. Kind of want to talk about our testimony this morning. One of the most powerful forces in the universe is a testimony. It's a testimony of what Christ has done for you. Your testimony doesn't have to be polished. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to be educated. It's not a sermon. It's not a theology lesson. Right? Doesn't matter your status or your reputation. It's a simple witness for what God has done for you. It's your testimony. This woman's testimony was just a couple words. She said, "Come see a man, which told me all things I ever did." And it had the power to shake the entire city. Yeah. You know, the devil loves to use our pride and our ego to squash our testimony. It's an easy thing to do, because to give a testimony, you have to admit that it's got nothing to do with you. You got to admit that you need something. You got to put your pride and your ego to the side and just give all glory to God. We have to admit that we're not enough. I just got a couple points this morning. But first, I want to back up to verse number 5. Verse number 5, John chapter 4. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria," which is called Sychar, I think, "near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." Can I say this morning that a testimony only takes one encounter with Jesus Christ? It takes one encounter to have a testimony. And you know what? We should have a new one every day. As believers, if we're walking with God, there's no way we should say that we don't have a testimony to share with somebody else. Every day, God's doing something in your life. And if you don't see it, you're not paying attention. But every day, we should have something new to share with the brothers and sisters about what Christ has done for us. It only takes once. This woman woke up on this day. She wasn't looking for Jesus. She was out doing her chores. All kinds of other places in the Bible, people go out and they're looking for him. They heard where he was and they want to go find him. There's the woman with the blood issue, right? She went out and, "If I could only touch the hem of his garment," she went out to look for him. Zacchaeus, the tiny little guy, short statured little fella. He couldn't see above the crowd, so he climbed up in a tree and he was looking for Jesus. He knew where he was and he wanted to see him. He He wanted to find him. Let's flip over to Matthew chapter 7. Hold your place there, and John, we're going to be coming back. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." We ought to be looking. We ought to be looking for Christ. Luke 19. Luke 19, 10. Luke 19, 10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." If you didn't notice there, we're supposed to be looking, and he's looking too. How much easier would a game of hide and seek be if nobody was hiding? Right? If both people were seeking, man, that'd be a quick game. Right? We're supposed to be looking, and he's looking for us too. If you're saying, "Well, I don't know where God is," or "God hasn't been doing much," man, you're not looking. Yeah. You're hiding. Stop hiding and start seeking. Stop hiding and start seeking. Flip back over to John chapter 4. I told you to hold your place and then I forgot. That's okay. John chapter 4, verse 7. Verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water." This lady was just doing her chores. She was just going to collect what she thought was important to her, what she thought she needed to sustain her throughout the day. She was going to that well. How often has God done that with you? You're out just doing your regular day. You're keeping busy with what you think is important. And got all these things that you have to get done. And I'll tell you, last week was rough. Every day was busy, working 10, 11, 12 hours every day. Every day after work, we had something planned to do. Friday night, my poor wife ends up in the hospital. Like, all these things, right? It was busy, 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 all important. So much stuff that has to get done, and it weighs on you, and it stresses you, and you don't have time to seek the Lord, right? Because what you think is important is all that you're worried about. We got to be less busy, folks. I got to be less busy. I'm talking about myself. Sure, your job's important, but it shouldn't be the most important thing. Sure, your chores are important, kids, right? But it shouldn't be the most important thing. This lady went out doing what she thought was the most important. This one encounter changed her identity, changed who she was. She came to this well known for her mistakes, known for her reputation, known for her past, for her shame. But Jesus looked beyond her history and saw her eternity. I'll say that again. He looked beyond her history and he saw her eternity. How many people in here, I don't want to raise a hand, it's a rhetorical question. How many people had a reputation before you met Jesus? How many people were known for what you did or who you were before you met the Lord? I know I did. People didn't even know who I was after I got saved. Right? Everything about me changed. And it should. It should. Everything about me, my likes, my hobbies, my attitude, everything. The people I hung out with, the words that I said, everything changed. We're known by our reputation, but Jesus can change that. He can change our identity. You know, I lost a lot of friends. When I got saved, right? The people that, you know, grew up with, and oh man, you were buddies, you were close. But all of a sudden, if you don't like doing the same things, your reputation's gone. Those friends tend to disappear.
Yeah.
But you know what I gained? I gained a whole family.
Yeah.
Gained a whole family of brothers and sisters. A father. Right? Gained it. Before I was saved, I would never want to hang out with you people. Right? you weren't my people. Now I love you guys. You know? It changes you. Changes your identity. You have a new identity in Christ with one encounter. One encounter is all it says. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things become new. You're a new creature. People do whatever they can to try to live by their reputation. Or try to hide it, depending on which way it's going. This woman had a reputation. You know, it only takes one encounter to satisfy a hungry soul. I didn't know what I was looking for when I found the Lord, when He found me. I didn't know what I was looking for. This woman spent her life seeking comfort in all different places, from men, from the world. It was her, she had 5 ex-husbands. She's working on the 6th one. She wasn't finding what she was looking for. It wasn't there. Broken relationships, drawn from wells that don't satisfy. The world does this all the time. All the time they're looking for satisfaction from anywhere but from the one true source. I remember one time, kind of ashamed to admit this, but it was fun, so don't judge me. Me and my wife, you ever see that show on TV where they auction off those storage units? Right? So we went to one of those auctions. I thought, this will be fun. You know, I didn't expect to make a fortune, but it was fun, right? So we go to this storage auction, and there's a bunch of people fighting over people's trash and paying a whole bunch of money for it. So they open this storage unit, and it had a big TV in there and an aquarium and some other things. And I thought, oh, I'll take a shot, you know. So start out like 10 bucks. They wanted more than 10 bucks for this guy's trash. So it keeps going up, and there's another guy bidding on it, and it's going. Finally, I get to $50, and I'm like, I'm not paying more than $50 for the storage unit full of trash. Because part of the deal is you have to haul all the trash out by the end of the day. So you got a U-Haul fee, and you got all these things, right? So we win the trash for $50. And now we have a storage unit full of trash, right? And we start going through this storage unit. And there's boxes and boxes, and we're opening them up. And it is boxes full of get-rich-quick material. DVDs and books and literature and pamphlets and how to make money fast and how to make money on all these little things and da-da-da-da-da. And it was so sad. It was so sad. This person was so wrapped up in their get rich quick. If it was your storage unit, I apologize. But it was wrapped up with all these things of how can I get what I want? But the saddest part of it all was in that storage unit, there was a Bible that was untouched. It was like brand new. This guy, there was pictures, his family, all this stuff. And boxes and boxes. I can't even explain to you how much trash of these get-rich-quick schemes. But the answer was right there.
Yeah.
It was in there. He just didn't look for it. He didn't seek it. It was right in front of his face. But he had a storage unit full of junk that eventually he couldn't even pay for the storage unit because he was looking in the wrong place. I'm saying it only takes one encounter with Jesus Christ to change your life. to change your identity, to change who you are. Next, can I say this? Your testimony can turn pain into a purpose. Your testimony can turn your pain into a purpose. John chapter 4, verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. And saith unto the man, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Despite this woman's past, she boldly proclaimed Christ. This was a woman that was out getting water at the hottest part of the day. It says the sixth hour. Sixth hour, it's about noon. It's hard to understand how that works. Well, that's what it is. That's the hottest part of the day. She's out there for a reason at the hottest part of the day. Probably because her reputation doesn't allow her to be around a lot of people. Just kind of looking into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Most people were up early in the morning, in the cool of the day, out collecting their water, getting the things that they need. Verse 6 says it was the sixth hour. It was hot. She was out avoiding people. She wasn't trying to be with the crowds. She was out by herself. I don't think it's a stretch of the imagination to think that this woman probably wasn't treated very well. I think back then, if you had five husbands and you're working on number six, you were probably thought of a certain way. I mean, there's people that judge people nowadays for things like that. But back then, I think it was a little worse. Sure, people talked about her, whispered about her, said ugly things to her, right? Women probably clutched their husband a little tighter when this lady was around, right? This one's mine. You've had five, right? But she went back into the city with a purpose. She went back in and she talked to these people. She was excited. It took all the pain that she had and it turned it into a purpose. She didn't go back with a Bible college degree. She didn't go back with a degree in theology. She didn't go back a Bible scholar. She went back seeing Jesus Christ and telling people about him. She left what was important to her at the well and returned to the city with what was important to God. That was her testimony. She left her water pot and she went and she told. You know, we've been doing this thing down in Junior Church. And I sincerely thank you, everybody that's come down there and given a testimony to these kids. It's been incredible. It's been great. The power of you guys' testimony is, you can't put a number or a word to it, really. Listening to how the Lord has reached all these different people in different ways has been just wonderful. And it's great for these kids to see it. God works on everybody in an individual way, a special, individual, perfect way that he's reached each person. And sharing that with those kids is huge. It's what God wants us to do. We're supposed to share that. We're not supposed to keep that for ourselves, right? So many different stories. Stories of people that grew up in church or didn't grow up in church. Stories of people with colorful backgrounds, is that a good way to say it? And stories of people that never strayed from the path. Either way, it's a testimony. We were out at dinner the other night, me and my wife, and she talked me into this thing, and I don't know how it worked, but so we go to this CC co-op right? It's a homeschool Christian co-op. And every year they want you to do this horrible thing where you go and you sit and have dinner with three or four families you don't know, right? And you eat tacos. And man, it's painful. You're in somebody's house that you don't know. You've never met them before. And you're eating their food and you're sitting there with three other couples that you don't know. And it's terrible. We've been in CC for about 7 years. I've gone to one. This was my second. But we're sitting there, and you all know my wife, bless her heart. She doesn't like to mess around with small talk, you know. And so she gets right to the point. She says, you know, let's all tell each other our testimony. So we're going around the table. And this one lady starts, and she says, you know, I don't really have a testimony. I grew up in church. I went to a Christian school. I married a Christian husband. I've been in the church my whole life. And she's like, that's about it. And I was like, that's beautiful. Yeah. That's one of the best testimonies you can have. Like, what do you mean you don't have it? What do you mean? You didn't do that. God did that for you. God kept you away from that. God gave you the purpose to do what you're doing. We heard some other testimonies that were wild. I don't have time to share all those, but if you want to know later, you can ask me. But man, that's what we should be doing. You know, took that really awkward situation of eating tacos with people you don't know and turned it into this thing where we're just glorifying God at this table. It was good. It was good. You know, not all testimonies come from trials. Some do, and that's okay. And they should. If you're seeking the Lord, your trial should turn into a testimony. Your trial should turn into a way that you can brag on the Lord. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll start in verse number 3. Wait for y'all to get there. Second Corinthians 1, verse number 3. Blessed be God. Amen. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, all of it, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We're not to keep that to ourselves. What God does for us isn't always for us. It's for somebody else. Some of my most shameful points of my life have turned into some of the best ways that I can comfort somebody else. To let other people know that there's a hope. To let other people know that there's a comforter that can get you through those trials. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. It's not to keep them to ourselves. We're not to hold those in secret. That's where that pride comes in. Sometimes we don't like to admit how bad we screwed up. Sometimes we don't like to admit the situations that we got ourselves in. But it's not about you. It's about giving glory to God. It's about giving honor to God. It's about helping a brother and sister that's going through trials too, and comforting them. It's not for us. Your testimony is supposed to magnify the Savior, not the saved. Common mistake we make with all our testimonies, or at least I have a lot, is I take the credit. Right? Let me tell you my testimony. Let me tell you how I got saved. Those words are wrong. Let me give you a testimony of Jesus Christ, how he saved my wretched soul. It's not mine. It's not mine. It's not how I got saved, how I stopped doing X, Y, and Z. It's how Jesus Christ worked in my life. In the power of Christ to change people. That's what our testimony should be. A big danger is making ourselves the hero of our story. None of you did anything special to get saved. But we all have a special story of what Christ did for us to get saved. We're not the hero of our story. Let's flip back over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse number 30. You guys all know this verse. He must increase, but I must decrease. Our testimony should never focus on how strong we were, on how wise, how good, how hard we looked for the Lord, or even how much we suffered. Say that again. Or even how much we suffered. Some of us have been through some things. Some of us have come out of the other side of some things. But it's not because you're really good at suffering. And that's a hard one to swallow. We like to think that we made it through it. That we did it. That we were strong enough and we overcame sin. No, you didn't. God did it for you. God did it for you. It's always Christ's power, his mercy, his faithfulness. But you know, testimonies are not only things that we need to tell the lost. We need to be sharing that with each other. Flip over to Revelation chapter 12. Verse number 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame him, the devil, Satan, sin, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. Your testimony can be so powerful. I'll give you this story. I might have told this before. Before Jesus saved me, I used to hang out in this tattoo shop a lot. Down in Battleground, right next to the bar, where was another place that I hung out a lot. But I hung out at this tattoo shop all the time. I had a really good buddy in there. We did all kinds of terrible things. And I remember the next week after I was sitting in that back row here and Christ found me, saved me, and I walked into that tattoo shop and told my buddy, I said, hey man, I got saved. I'm not going to be hanging out in the shop anymore. Like, you can come over. I just live down the road. But I'm not going to be hanging out in this shop anymore, man. And he kind of looked at me like I was crazy, which is fine, you know. But it's almost like he understood. And so I didn't see him for a long time. Time goes by, a couple years. I'm working at the Chevron in Battleground. another buddy of mine from high school. He just got out of Mountain Missions Recovery Program for substance abuse. And he came into the Chevron and he was carrying a Bible. And I was like, what? Like, I knew you from high school, man. Like, you're as terrible as me. And he's carrying a Bible. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, just got out of this recovery program, man. I got my sword. And I was like, praise God. That's amazing. And he's like, you want to go to church with me? I was like, of course. Let's go to church. So that Sunday, he shows up at my house. We go to Longview, some church I've never heard of since. And we walk in there, and it's kind of a new age church. What, it doesn't matter. It's a church, right? And they're talking about God, so praise the Lord. We walk in there, and I look up on stage, and I see this big tatted up guy with shaved head in a suit. And I'm like, what? So that's my buddy from the tat shop. And I go up to him, and I hadn't seen him in about 5 years from when I got saved. From when the Lord saved me. I still got to fix that. So the service was over. He was up there preaching. Service is over. He gets down. I go up and I'm like, buddy, what happened? And he was like, man, I've been looking for you. He goes, remember when you came in and told me you got saved and you weren't coming back in the shop no more? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, man, I grew up in church. He's like, I got saved as a kid. He goes, I'd been so far away. He's like, got addicted to drugs, about to lose my wife. He had 7 kids. And he goes, he says, man, he says, you came in here and I saw how excited you were to get saved. He says, I got into rehab, got back with the Lord, got my wife and kids back. He says, now I'm just serving God. Amen. That's all the Lord. Yeah. That's just sharing what God has done for you with somebody else. You don't know where they're at. Right. You don't know where they've been. You don't know what they need to hear. But they always need to hear about the Lord. Always. And he's still doing it. He moved back down south somewhere and he's traveling around being an evangelist. Like, changed his life. Changed my life. We're supposed to share these things. It's powerful. It's more powerful than you know. A word fitly spoken. Look over in John chapter 4 and verse 39. We'll skip ahead this story a little bit. John chapter 4 and verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. We have the ability, guys. We have the ability to change people's lives by bragging on the Lord. All these people, many of them, whom I'm sure knew this woman's reputation, I'm sure they shunned her and looked down on her and judged her from her reputation, got to come and find the Lord because she spoke up, because she said something, because she got excited about it. Are we excited about it? Is it something we want to talk to people about? I got people in my life that don't want to hear it. Doesn't mean I'm not going to talk about it. Right. Still going to talk about it. I got people that I know that judge me hard because of my reputation I used to have. But that's okay. That doesn't matter because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about what God did. I've heard all the things. Oh, the cop-out, hypocrite, trying to play the goody-goody now. All the things, right? Doesn't matter. We brag on the Lord. We give Him the credit. Let's turn to one last spot, Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, amen, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my goings. Thank you, Lord. And He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter your reputation. What matters is, what are people going to see and what are people going to hear? Are we willing to share that? We should all have a time in our life that we can know when we met with the Lord, when the Lord met with us, when we got the new birth, when everything about us changed. We should all know that time. And if you don't know it, I heard this illustration the other day. If I stood in the back after this service and I had a box of chalk, and I gave every one of you a piece of chalk, and I said, take this piece of chalk and go to the place where you were born again and put a circle on the ground. Some people might go over there. Some people might come to the altar. Some, I'd go to the back row. Some people might go down to junior church. But some people might not know where to take their chalk. There's a difference in knowing and believing. We should all know. The devils believe and tremble. We should all know. You might not remember the day, you might not remember the time, the month, the year, but you should know the place where Jesus Christ saved your soul. You should know the place. And if you don't, you should probably get that taken care of today. And then tell somebody about it. Then tell somebody. Lord, thank You for today. Thank You for this opportunity to come up, Lord, and just open Your book. And God, just brag on how good You are to us. God, I pray the Holy Spirit just does a mighty work in somebody's heart today. I don't know where these people are at. I don't know what they're going through. All I know is that You gave me this to give to them. And God, I pray that I glorified You in it. And I pray that seeds are planted and growth happens. And Lord, we can all be a little more confident going out and just bragging on You, Lord. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.